All right, here we go. It is Wednesday, and it's the Dennis Stuckey Show, and we are a little more than a week away. Tomorrow will be exactly 1 week away from the start of the high school football season here in the state of Michigan. So it's time that we get our yearly visit from Mark Brochu and learn a little something about officiating so that we're not the dummy standing up in the stadium yelling at the ref that he's made the wrong call when in actuality he's made the right call, because high school football, college football, and pro football don't always play by the same rules. Do they, Mark?
No, they don't.
Yeah. Welcome aboard. How long have you been an official?
Oh, I should have. Over 40 years.
Over 40 years. Boy, that's a lot of time taking a lot of abuse, because that's pretty much what officials do.
Yep. Yep. You know, it's like 10% of the time. So most of the time it's very enjoyable, and you have to put up with the bad stuff just like any other job, like your job. I'm sure you get some feedback sometimes that's not...
Occasionally.
Yeah. Yeah. So, yeah, it's been good. It's the camaraderie and see the kids on the field. A lot of times you see some really neat interaction amongst the kids on the field, totally separate from the adult influence. That's really neat to watch.
Are the kids generally, I don't know what the word is, cooperative? Like, they're not the ones that do the complaining most of the time until the adults start complaining, and then the kids will think, oh, there's something wrong, I should be complaining.
Yeah, they take on the personality of the adults on the sideline, and even, you know, some coaches are very reserved, and they'll say something, and that's the end of it. Some coaches just carry on, and the kids on the field play off of that.
Some guys are just looking for the next call. Even if they know you got it right, they're going to chew on you a little bit because they just hope that it'll get them a call later down the road.
Yeah, I've heard that from people like my brother who coaches down in Georgia.
All right. When we see pro and college football, we see seven officials. We don't always see seven officials in a high school game. Who's missing, and how many do you need to actually cover the field and do this properly?
Well, in high school for the last multiple years, it's been five. For the high school semifinals and finals, they've had seven-man crews for the last couple years. And now this year, more and more of the Class A leagues are going to seven-man. But they're trying to do that at the same time there is a shortage of officials. So they have two, what they call two deep wings on each sideline. I mean, a lot of us talk, and you could get a big improvement from going from five to six. You've got both sidelines covered deep. Seven is a real plus. But for smaller schools, I don't think it adds that much, because there's not that much passing. It's the passing that really stretches the field that requires more bodies to cover it.
All right, so let's do this, and this will help me some, too, because sometimes I get confused on who's doing what out there. So the referee is generally in the backfield, and what's he doing?
The referee, who wears the white hat, who's the crew leader, his main responsibility is the quarterback in the backfield.
All right. The umpire does what?
Umpire is behind defense, mainly responsible for line play and holding.
Is he the one that keeps the play time?
No.
So, Who's keeping that?
On the five-man crew, it's the back judge.
Okay.
Who keeps the clock and keeps track of the play clock.
And he's the official time, not the scoreboard?
Well, the official time is always determined by the referee, but the scoreboard is 90%
okay.
of the time. So yeah.
So you guys are better than it's better than soccer, where it's completely the referee and time is arbitrary. They're just showing it to give you an idea.
Right, yeah. I give my two brother and nephews a hard time. They're soccer officials that.
So what's the difference between a linesman and a line judge?
Just what side of the field they are. The head linesman linesman handles the chains on the visitor side of the field, and the line judge is on the home field side and has similar responsibilities, but obviously doesn't have the chains.
And then the back judge is basically the guy that's covering the secondary.
Right. He's the center fielder.
Yeah. And you don't really have a field judge or a side judge?
No, not for the majority of games in this area.
Okay. So that gives you an idea of where everybody is. Now, let's talk about what to look for this season. Have there been any new rules or rules that we've gotten used to that have been changed this year, or are we kind of going steady here?
Well, the one thing operationally for officials that's changed this year is everybody's going with a 40-second play clock like you see in college and high and college and pro. Obviously, most fields are not going to have a visible play clock. It's still going to be the back judge doing that. But on a regular play where there is no administration of anything, as soon as the ball becomes dead, the covering official raises their hand, and like they do in basketball, and then the back judge will start the 40-second clock. Now, if there is some kind of administration or a timeout, you revert back to the 25 seconds because obviously the teams are more disciplined. They're coming from the sideline. They're ready to go. So that's the big change for officials, and I'm sure that's going to be a little rough at times, but it's probably something most spectators are not going to see or understand.
Yeah.
And shouldn't have an impact on the game.
Okay, well, that's good news. While we're on the clock, I always like to get these ones out early with the running time. Unfortunately, sometimes we have mismatches out there. We get the running time. Now, it's running time at 35, but it's a little different than if you get the score to, say, a 50-point difference, correct?
Right, and it's after halftime. You play the first half through no matter what, then if you have 35, then you go to a mostly running clock. TIPS is the acronym we used. The clock only stops for touchdowns, injuries, penalties, and scores. If you go to 50, then you just basically let it run. You don't stop for those things.
And I think at that point, you don't want to stop for the rest.
Right.
Sometimes at 35, depending on the weather is, I don't want it to stop for anything.
But it's amazing the number of times you'll go to 35 and then it drops back to,
Yeah.
But usually the game's been decided and you're just trying to get through it in an orderly fashion.
Yeah, and I think sometimes that confuses people too, where they're watching and the clock is running and then somebody scores a touchdown and it's a 34-point game and
right.
the clock goes back to the regular times. What about differences from high school to, say, college and pro? We always hear, and I ask you this every year, but I like to refresh people's memories. We always hear about the tackle box and things of this nature. They don't exist in high school football.
No, but the trend is, over the last several years, to get more uniformity. Mainly the high school is coming along to what the college and pros are, but there's no tackle box. There's still, so there still is intentional grounding is the infamous one on that. You still can intentionally ground. You can't throw it out of bounds behind the line of scrimmage. And hopefully down the road that'll change, but it's still intentional grounding is different.
And I will guarantee it will happen at every single game I go to this year. A ball will be thrown. A player will be grabbed, but the ball will sail 30 feet away from the two players, and the flag will be thrown for pass interference, and a parent will stand up and go, "It's not catchable!"
Right.
That rule is a pro rule.
Right.
Not a high school.
Right. And I think most officials would like to be able to deal with it like the higher levels do, but if it's we don't, that's not in our criteria.
Yeah, if you see the foul, you call the foul.
Now, one thing that was changed last year for years, if you did face guarding, if the defenders got their back to the quarterback and is just throwing their hands up to distract the receiver, for years and years that was pass interference. Now, last year they changed it that if there's no contact, that's not pass interference. So that getting a little closer.
Yeah, and I like the rule change. I didn't see it affecting any games, and actually I thought it made games a little more fun. I think I saw fewer flags last year.
Yep.
So that's always a good thing.
The other thing on pass, obviously receptions and the pros, it's 2 feet's got to be in. And high school and college, it's 1 foot inbounds.
I don't know if you do any eight-man football or not, but what are the differences officiating-wise from 11-man and eight-man?
Oh, I do one a year, so they're pretty minimal. They're pretty minimal. You have less linemen on the field, and just it's a narrower field. They get to therefore they get to the sidelines really fast, and it's more similar than different.
Is one more difficult than the other? More difficult to follow 11 guys than it is with less players on the field?
No, I think they're pretty similar. And of course, no knock against the smaller schools. The number of really good athletes in the smaller schools are more limited. So no, they play out pretty similar. And I've enjoyed doing the 8-man games. I've done the last several years.
Yeah,
they're smaller schools, and I've started to appreciate more and more the smaller schools and the old school kind of. Hey, it's a community event. They're less crazy in some of the behaviors. So
that's a very professional way of putting that. Very good way to put that. Injury and safety is always a factor. What are they doing so that officials can help players be safer?
I think the biggest factor is with the coaches' coaching techniques and folks like yourself, especially the TV guys that used to for years really glorify hitting people with their heads. And I think that's finally gone away, especially on Sunday, where they aren't, you know.
Yeah.
I think
people were really ignorant to concussions and closed head injuries for a long, yeah, long time. And now obviously we're doing more studies and the internet has helped out. You can't escape information if you really want to find it.
Right.
And I think that's a big help.
But the big thing for officials, they tell us we are not involved in determining whether somebody's had a concussion or whether they can come in the game. They have fully put that on the backs of the coaches and any medical staff they have on the sideline. We're just told to notify the coach, and it's their decision whether they come back or not.
Another big difference is how we play overtime in high school football. Similar to college, but different.
Right.
Start at the 10-yard line and then kind of take us through that.
Right. Each team is given a series of downs that the coin toss determines what end of the field it is, so they stay at the same end of the field, and they're given four downs to score or not score, and then the other team gets the same opportunity, and then if it's ties, they keep going. The one thing in high school, you cannot score defensively, so there's no interception for PAT, you know.
Yeah. Once the turnover occurs, the play is dead.
The play is dead.
Can't pick up a fumble. We talked about this, I think, maybe last year. If you could manage to get a 90-yard sack, I suppose you could win on a safety.
Right. I think that is the only one. We did talk about that last year.
I don't think I've ever seen a 90-yard sack, though. I don't know that that's quite possible. In the other sports, in college, after a certain number of overtimes, they make teams go for two. They don't do that in high school?
No.
Okay, so you can kick, you can go 10 overtimes and keep kicking the extra point and never have to go for two. But if it goes 10 overtimes, somebody's going to go for two.
Right.
Yeah. Some teams only go for two. All right, so the NFHS sent me this thing. It mentioned your 40-second play clock.
Okay.
But it also said that states now have the option for postseason instant replay for high school. Why would we want instant replay in high school football? And who would have the money for this?
Well, what we're hearing right now is from the Michigan High School Athletic Association is they will only do that for the finals when they have the television equipment and all the angles where there is a reasonable chance that they'll have a good view at it. So, and it basically on only the most important plays. So like a score or no score, interception, those kind of things.
As an official, how does that make you feel?
Well, I've never been in that of replay, but just doing having done a state final down at the Ford Field, it's kind of a higher level of sensitivity that you got cameras that have these views, and it's and then you go back and watch the game and go, how did I do? Because you may see it in slow motion that you had never seen it before. So,
well, I mean, it is, and people don't realize, and I'm guilty too from time to time. If I think a mistake has been made, I won't be shy about saying, well, I think a mistake was made there. But at the same time, usually you guys are getting it right. And generally, if there is a guy who's officiating who doesn't do a good job, they get weeded out pretty quickly. Right. And the crews that show up on a Friday night or a Saturday afternoon to do a high school football game, right, the guys know what they're doing.
Yeah. And the other thing, it's common that if you have a crew that know each other and trust that they've worked a bunch of games together, they're all more apt to have a teammate, a fellow official, come up and let's reconsider this, what we've got. And that's been a complaint about the NFL for, the Super Bowl. It's a put-together crew. Or for the playoffs, it's all put together. And for the semifinals and finals for high school, it's a put-together crew that you don't have that level of comfort and ability to come up and say, hey, let's talk about this before we finalize the decision. So,
is there a rating system? Do the coaches get to rate officials or athletic directors, or is there any type of system like that that you guys use? Not as a critical thing, but as a tool to improve.
There is the schools are required to submit a rating for each game. Official for each game, and I don't know if the athletic director does that or the coach does that, but it has to be submitted by the school, so I don't know who's doing it. It's a 1 to 4 rating scale. 1 is the best and 4 is the worst, and it doesn't serve the function of giving proper feedback. It's a tool that the state considers when making playoff assignments.
I would bet that it is 100% that you get the good rating from the team that wins and the bad rating from the team that loses.
Well, we've asked, every association asks the state, and they say, don't assume that. But what I think is the big, and I'm not supposed to criticize, but if you get a terrible rating, you don't know who rated you that. So you have no concept of where that came from. And that's where the failure to being a good feedback loop is, you don't know who was really upset. And the state says sometimes you'd be surprised it's not the person it's not necessarily the losing team's the one that's complaining about you. And you have no way of knowing.
Yeah. So if somebody's out there and they want to get involved in officiating, how do you go about it?
Just go on the Michigan High School, MHSAA.com, and click, and away you go. And for high school, you have to take a test on the mechanics before they'll register you. I think basketball is that also. Those are the two sports, maybe soccer, I'm not sure. But and then you pay your fee, and then they put you in contact with the local association. In our case, it's the Eastern Michigan Officials Association that covers football, soccer, we added basketball, and then softball and baseball.
All right. Did we miss anything?
Well, we got a couple other quick things. Tripping the ball carrier is not legal this year. In the past, I can't remember the last time I ever saw it. It was a foul to trip anybody but the ball carrier. Now it includes the ball carrier. The other weird thing, not weird, you only need 5 men on the line of scrimmage to be legal, but you cannot have more than 4 people in the backfield. My brochure's editorial comment is that's so we don't nitpick whether the wide receivers are in the proper place. When they say the backfield, it's within the interior line. So if the flanker and the wide receiver are a little squirrely, they still determine who's eligible or not eligible, but you're not going to get a penalty for not enough men on the line.
Yeah, because you get
that was a, you know, you got the defensive backs out there covering people, so I think they'll eliminate some of those illegal procedure for not enough men on the line of scrimmage, which I think everybody's in favor of that. The other thing is the infamous horse collar penalty. They've expanded that to include the name plate. It was you had to grab the shoulder pads or the inside of the jersey. Now, if you just grab the nameplate, you see that less and less. I think the kids are staying away when it happens. It's legitimately an accident. And then batting and kicking penalty, which you see rarely, has been reduced from 5 yards or from 15 yards down to 10 yards. So a lot of tweaking, but
I still think the penalty for holding. And is it true? Could you call holding on every play? They always say that.
Yeah.
I still think that's one of the severest and harshest. That's like the death penalty, man. And to mark it off from the spot of the foul, too, sometimes you can really kill a team with a holding call.
They really emphasize is making sure it has a bearing on the play. So it gives way too much subjectivity. But if it's the guy near the ball carrier, it's probably going to get called, especially if it gets him around the corner because you've hooked a guy or something like that. But it shouldn't be the tackle on the other side of the field. So nobody wants to see a bunch of yellow flags. That's not what people come to see. And everybody wants a clean, efficient game. And so there's a lot of subjectivity to that. But yeah, there's a lot of holding.
All right. Mark, thanks a lot for doing this.
You're welcome.
Enjoy seeing you every year.
Coming in once a year.
All right. Mark Brochu, everybody. We'll take a break, and we'll be back with more in just a moment.